Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to Colin's Last Stand right here on YouTube. My name is Colin Moriarty. As always, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you being here. And I hope you and yours are doing very well indeed on whatever day you're watching this, because I can't possibly know that. Now, the last two episodes of Colin's Last Stand were about the atomic bomb. So they were very political indeed. They were about World War II. They were about FDR and Einstein and all of that. And I wanted to kind of swing back into the realm of politics this week, but I wanted to even go a little bit further than that. I wanted to get into the realm more of philosophy. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the proliferation of political violence that I'm seeing kind of more and more justified, especially in the United States, but elsewhere in the West, and kind of just how that makes me feel, because I don't like where it's bringing us. I don't like where it's bringing our conversation, where it's bringing us as a people, as a society, and as a human race. And I think that while there's absolutely a place for violence, whether in politics or whether in your everyday life, I think those places are extremely limited and should be, you know, identified well ahead of time and never justified otherwise. You should never just justify violence because you don't like what someone says, you don't like how someone feels or how they express themselves, and that's the point we're getting to. And so I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about that, see how you feel, and of course we can have a riveting conversation in the comments. So let's just jump right into the video without further ado. When did decency and civility get thrown out the window? I'm not talking about just a simple toss out the window either. I'm talking about decency and civility getting ruthlessly and suddenly catapulted over the horizon and out of sight. I suppose it happened in the lead up to the election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump just last year. Clinton versus Trump, the establishment versus the outsider, the media versus reality, and all of the rest of the cliches that ultimately illustrate that incredibly iconic moment in time. That was probably the singular inflection point. But in reality, our civility, the way we deal with one another, speak with one another, and care for one another, has been spiraling ever downward for far longer. In a way, we've always had some of this built into the tapestry of who we are, both individually and collectively. A spirit of competition, of one-upsmanship, of moral and intellectual superiority. We've all succumbed to it at our weakest and most vain moments. We probably all will again. But those are mere lapses any human experiences. The key word being human. We're supposed to be smart enough to identify mistakes and not repeat them, but we're now experiencing an all-new, stubborn exception to the rule, a normalization of violence. If you study history, if you enjoy reading about it and learning about it, you know that there are predictable rhythms to the human experience. There's always been a level of public and private vitriol between different collections of people, at different places, during different times. Violence and venom isn't new or unique. Groups and hordes of gangs and loose assortments of whoever have been fighting with each other in a quest for literal superiority for millennia, and in a way, that can be traced back to the very way nature itself works, unsympathetically. At the very core of life is the idea that the fit survive, the unfit don't, and that at the very end of the day, anything goes, so long as you have the edge necessary to see another day. But when stuck in this almost Darwinian mindset, something is lost, something that separates us as humans from the animals. The animals haven't outsmarted evolution like we have. They've not proliferated around and gained complete dominion over an entire planet. They've not become self-aware. They've not developed complex written and spoken languages, or mystical origin stories and religions, or life-changing technologies. They haven't cured diseases, mastered mathematics, or gone into space. They don't know any better. The thing is, we do. It's time to own up to our collective shortcomings and ask ourselves why we aren't being better as individuals and as collectives, both in our everyday lives and in the long game. And not only better in the isolated sense, but better to one another as human beings. When it comes to the question of violence, acts of individual violence, coordinated violence, and political violence, it seems we need a collective reminder that we shouldn't strive to solve our problems like a pack of rabid wolves. The reason I'm feeling so, let's say, philosophical on today's Colin's Last Stand is simple, really. There's something truly pernicious about the re-emerging idea that might means right. I'm tired of the bickering just to bicker, the fighting just to fight, the refusal to find any common ground with anyone not in your ideological bubble. I'm over the name-calling and the call-out culture, the homers keeping score. I've grown weary of force and wary of those who choose to exercise it on behalf of all of us. I'm sick of the extremes taking hold and taking control of what's going on in all of our lives, painting the picture as they see fit, but not as we, the peaceful, reasonable majority, want it. I'm completely over the us versus them mentality, the good versus bad mentality, the right versus wrong mentality, as if any particular individual or ideology owns all that is good, all that is right, all that is in some way us. And I hate that all of it seems to lead inexorably to the justification of force. If we want to be better, and we should want to be better, it starts here. This is at the crux of the issue for me, is this, you know, we've talked about it in the past, this identity politics or identitarianism, and the idea that you divide and you conquer. You identify, you divide people, and then you conquer. And this kind of mentality actually justifies as an end result violence or force, and it's not okay with me. We've gotten into such a situation, such a predictable situation, where everyone's kind of building into this frenzy, as it were, on the extremes and trying to pull as many normal people in as possible that, as any of the marches show recently, no one really even understands why they're marching or what they're against or what they're for anymore. They just want to be screaming, they just want to be acting like children, and they just want to justify their violence. I'm not a pacifist, not even remotely. I don't believe in nonviolence at all times, no matter what. There is absolutely, positively a place for violence. But violence, whether against individuals or groups, and certainly against private and public property, has to be the last resort, a fallback plan where there is literally no other reasonable or viable option at your disposal. The reality is, violence has founded great societies like ours, toppled ruthless dictators around the world, obliterated oppressive monarchical and totalitarian regimes throughout history, and otherwise affected great change in our world over thousands of years. It would be silly to pretend that's not true, because it absolutely is. In times of existential threat, things change. Things were different in the 1770s and 1780s. The early to mid-1860s represented a violent outburst decades in the making. The first half of the 20th century required that force and violence be met with force and violence all over the planet. Thing is, 2017 isn't 1944. It isn't 1776. It isn't 1863, nor is it 1916. Treating it like it is, well, laughable. Not all times are created equal. Not all responses are created equal either. Then again, isolated acts of violence can also achieve righteous results. If a woman is being brutally raped, or a person on the street is being robbed at gunpoint, or someone is breaking into your house with the intent to steal or damage your property, or maybe even hurt you, and the victims in those situations could turn the tables on their respective assailants, that would be the most positive and righteous use of violence imaginable. When someone infringes on your individual rights and protections to such an extreme degree, their rights to protection go out the window. For as easy as it is to call out improper acts of violence, which are many, and which are so easy to identify that a normal 5-year-old could do it, it's only fair to point out when the shoe is on the other foot. But let's be clear. In a vast, vast majority of cases, violence solves nothing and can easily escalate problems and make them far worse and far more serious. Violence wreaks unnecessary havoc on the lives of individuals, on families and friends, on towns and cities, and on entire countries and entire societies. Violence, or the mere threat or promise of it, has been used as a tool to repress people, repress ideas, repress ideologies, and repress freedom. Just ask the people in literally any former or current communist country, as an example. A foundational pillar of any modern Western 21st century society should absolutely be a doctrine of nonviolence, of non-aggression, and of peace as a starting point. Violence should be a last resort, always. It should only be employed when necessary, whether a cop is taking down a dangerous and resistant criminal, or a person caught in a physical struggle fights back in order to protect him or herself from harm. Living by this mantra of respect for an individual, his or her physical space, their property, and their ability to express themselves freely doesn't weaken society. It makes society stronger, because when society is stalwart about nonviolence as a starting point and the rules need to be bent, you know that there was a valid reason. You know that all other avenues have been explored. You know that violence isn't the first refuge, or just one of many refuges, but the final refuge. When we shirk this responsibility, it ultimately hurts all of us. It hurts our standing with each other and with others, and it greatly injures the trust and resolve necessary to keep different types of people together. And when I say different types of people, I mean just that. Different types of people politically, or ideologically, or in terms of religion or creed, and certainly in terms of nationality and ethnicity, theaters in which people look to divide us with archaic identitarian notions. Instead of giving credence to the energies that seek to tear us apart, we should instead bind ourselves together by agreeing that there are so many ways to keep the peace, save lives, protect property and individual rights, and retain the all-important high ground in the process. This particular segue has nothing much to add, except for I want to say this. If you want to justify violence, if you use violence out of turn, as it were, if you're trying to encourage other people to resort to violence, you are a lowlife. You are a loser. You don't belong in civilized society. Sorry. Quote-unquote punch a Nazi might be the single stupidest term that we're going to ultimately extract from this moment in time. And let it be said far and wide that concurrent to this time is the age of Donald Trump. So that's really saying something. This silly statement will cause cringes in living rooms, lecture halls, and dingy pubs for generations to come, as younger and yet-to-be-born individuals learn about the quest of a few misguided souls' attempt to insert random acts of violence into our collective discourse because words and ideas offended their very precious sensibilities. Worse yet, they get to identify who the Nazis are. That can't be dangerous at all, can it? The cringes might not be as extreme as the cringes you already experience as you see grown men compare themselves to fictional characters like Indiana Jones and Captain America in order to justify their childish, backwards antics, but cringes will nonetheless be had, in great number, because I am confident of one thing above all else. This level of extremism will not find a home in America or elsewhere in the West, where free speech, expression, and thought far outweigh whatever ephemeral strength violence and physical intimidation have. It's a notion I'm confident we'll ultimately reject. And that's really at the heart of all of this. Extremism not finding a home, no matter what it comes cloaked in. Extremism in the form of hatred, racism, bigotry, sexism, homophobia, or transphobia shouldn't find a comfortable home in modern society. Political extremism shouldn't either, and that goes for everyone who chooses to label themselves as the so-called good, everyone else as the so-called bad, and to divide everyone, then divide everyone again, then divide everyone one more time, just so there are groups that are constantly at odds with one another, constantly at each other's throats, constantly vying for attention, for oxygen. Normal people, people in the middle, people who have thrown off the shackles of extremism or simply refuse to give it any quarter, regardless of its origins, don't act like this. They don't act like children. They don't act like uneducated, uncivilized cretins. Good people don't burn down entire sections of cities, loot their neighbors' stores, destroy prestigious universities, attack police officers, and go nuts on each other in the streets for whatever the new reason is this week. Let's not forget something rather foundational and fundamental. A person has every right to have hateful and terrible ideas and go through their life unaffected by physical violence, so long as they don't initiate it on anyone else. If you don't want to hear that or you don't like that, that's too bad. That's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to remain. By the way, can you believe that a message like this, a message of moderation and respect for individual rights, is controversial in 2017? Can you believe that we've fallen so far as a people and as a society that it's controversial for me to say, hey, maybe you shouldn't touch that person. Maybe you shouldn't attack that person. Maybe you should let the times dictate the actions. Some people clearly and obviously have absolutely no idea of the gravity of any situation, and they think all situations are equally grave. People have the right to express their opinions, no matter what those opinions are. People have the right to talk, to picket, to march, to rally. They can do so for mundane reasons or terrible reasons, but they have that right. A neo-Nazi, whether you like it or not, has the right to go unmolested down the street. A Black Lives Matter group is allowed to preach its message. Antifa has every right to compare themselves to the US military in 1944, no matter how insanely comical that is. Words are words. Actions are actions. There is a difference. Let's all agree to reserve violence for those extreme circumstances where it is called for, politically or otherwise. 2017 America is so far away from being in those circumstances that it makes the calls for and acts of violence all the more abhorrent. Normalizing this crude behavior and allowing our next generations to come up thinking this is okay may be one of our greatest mistakes in a good long time. And it's time for everyone to take a look in the mirror and figure out how he or she has contributed to such toxicity. I'm proud to stand on a platform of nonviolence, even for those I dislike, even for those I hate, even for those I believe don't deserve a platform. I hope all of you out there will stand with me. We are the majority, and it's going to be up to all of us to grab the wheel and get this car back on the road again. So my rant is over, my rant about violence and political extremism, which is becoming a theme, or at least one of the themes here on Colin's Last Stand. It's all over now. So I'd be interested to see what you think. So leave a comment in the comments below, and I'll obviously always be down there talking with you guys as I usually am. Please keep it respectful. We have a great community going on here on Colin's Last Stand, and we try to keep things civil when and where possible, which is always. Of course, as you may have noticed, Colin's Last Stand is and remains ad-free. There are no ads running on YouTube. There are no ad activations or baked-in ads here on the videos, and that's because Colin's Last Stand is fully funded by the fans at patreon.com/Colin's Last Stand. For $1, $5, $10 a month, or more, whatever you want to give, you get special perks over there on Patreon, and you allow this show to exist in an ad-free and independent sense so that history and politics isn't bogged down by things you don't want to buy anyway. Of course, you should thumb up this video if you liked it, thumb it down if you don't, share it with friends and family, let them know about the magic and majesty of Colin's Last Stand. And I will, of course, see you next time for Colin's Last Stand. Oh, by the way, merch is going to be ready soon, so I'll have more on that in the next couple of weeks, so keep an eye out for that. But in the meantime, I hope you and yours are very well. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day, and I will see you next time. Keep on learning.